Brian Lehrer on WNYC, former Defense Secretary Robert Gates on his massive new book coming up tomorrow at this time here on The Brian Lehrer Show. Hope you'll tune in for that. We will take some calls for Robert Gates, too. Right now, while we're focusing on what the Bridgegate scandal means for Chris Christie's future in politics, maybe we should spend a minute or two asking what it might mean for the Port Authority, not the bus terminal, that bi-state agency that runs New York and New Jersey's transportation infrastructure. For example, Matthew Iglesias' Slate column has the headline, "The Port Authority is a Disaster and Should Be Disbanded." Joining me now with more is WNYC's Metro editor, Andrea Bernstein. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Brian.
By way of background first, what does the Port Authority control? How big is its budget?
Its budget is in the billions. It controls the airports, Newark, LaGuardia, Stewart, JFK. Just recently added Atlantic City, which becomes interesting in light of all of this, the bridges across the Hudson River, and the World Trade Center site.
And management is appointed by the two governors?
Right. Management, there's a board. Each of them appoints six commissioners, each governor. The terms are staggered, so they are supposed to outlast a governor. So you can find on the board now, for example, some appointees from former New York Governor David Paterson. There's an executive director, and now this position, which has become so famous, the deputy executive director, which you would think would answer to the executive director. But actually what's happened, what's grown up over time, is that there have become these two separate port authorities, one for New York, one for New Jersey. Now, this happened right about the time I started covering the Port Authority, which was in 1994, as Governor Pataki was taking office, and he appointed George Marlin, who had been the head of the Conservative Party, who was very, very, very important to Pataki's election. I mean, he won an upset against Mario Cuomo, and the amount of votes he got on the Conservative Party line were basically put him over the top. So he appointed George Marlin, and the Good Government Watchdog groups and the New York Times editorial board howled because they felt it was so blatantly political. He also put his—
And without any particular infrastructure expertise.
Without any particular infrastructure expertise. He also put on the board Charles Gargano, who was had been his chief fundraiser. And, of course, the Port Authority has huge amounts of money to hand out in contracts to, you know, potential campaign donors. I mean, it's a potential cash cow. So this happened.
Because it lets a lot of contracts. There's a lot of work that's done for the Port Authority, things like that.
And people who, you know, want to get some government favors might give some money to the Port Authority. In fact, a story that I did many, many years ago sort of resonates now, where the people who got the contract to clean up the World Trade Center had given quite a bit of money to George Pataki. So there were never any instances of sort of illegal quid pro quo, but there was a sense that was developing in the contracting world that if you wanted to win favor with one of the governors, giving to one of the governor's campaign might help your ability to get a Port Authority contract. Now, Christy Whitman, in response to this, said, okay, you're going to appoint this guy executive director. I want my own person who is going to report directly to the board. And that is sort of the beginning of what we see now, which is an agency that has just gone off the rails.
So if Governor Pataki was the first to kind of deprofessionalize the appointment to the top of the agency and blatantly politicize it, then Governor Whitman, who was the governor at the time in New Jersey, appointed sort of the equivalent for New Jersey. And then it's become like that ever since, as you're saying, the backstory.
Right. And you know, what my sources have been telling me over these many years is, you know, it's an agency that is politicized. But what has become clear is that there was an actual, you know, and I read almost all of the documents over the weekend. And what has become clear is that the level of politicization of every decision in the Port Authority has metastasized. It was not like this. There were political things that happened, but there was a professional agency functioning. And what has become clear is that every function of the Port Authority, including toll collection and moving cones, now has something to do with politics.
So listeners, any comments, questions, stories, reveals about the Port Authority? For WNYC's Andrea Bernstein, 212-433, WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. And here's a post from our comments page. I'm curious to get your take on this. It says, "The Port Authority has been hidden from public view for so long, I still can't believe that the Twin Towers were built by absconding with toll fees earmarked for public transportation, let alone rebuilt with the money needed for the Hudson River Tunnel. Thinking people have been waiting for this conversation for 50 years. Thanks, Christy."
Yeah.
You think that goes too far?
No, I mean, really sort of the politicization was said to have begun with former New York Governor Nelson Rockefeller when he did that, when he took that, he made that a Port Authority function, was a real estate function. And you'll remember,
World Trade Center,
right before,
controlled by the Port Authority.
Right before 9/11, the discussion was, we're going to get that off the books. Right. We're going to fix that.
And the developer, Larry Silverstein, was in the process of buying the World Trade Center?
Port Authority.
Or leasing it to run privately?
Exactly. That was sort of supposed to be the first step in kind of, we're going to get this out of the Port Authority. So now what you have, I mean, that's why you have this bizarre situation where the governor of New Jersey has a say in the development of 16 acres in Lower Manhattan. Now, I should say, I mean, this, you know, the board, there have been instances that we've here at WNYC have documented where there have been so many Port Authority board members with interests in decision making that the board is making that they can barely get a quorum on the board because so many people are conflicted out. David Sampson, who is the chair of the board, is a very, very close political ally of Governor Chris Christie. He was just with him in Arizona at the Republican Governors Association, where Christie, many thought, was sort of beginning his 2016 campaign. The two are very, very close. So it sort of starts right at the top and goes on down from there.
Before we get to some of our calls, and a lot of people are calling in to talk about the Port Authority, wasn't the whole idea behind the Port Authority when it was founded in the early 20th century specifically that it would be outside politics so that the region's long-term transportation needs would be in the hands of professionals and not driven by politics? And it was seen as this kind of good government regionalism. Aha, we don't have to just be New York or New Jersey. We can look at the economy of the area as a region, and that was seen as a very progressive thing and intended to shield it from politics.
Right, and that was why you're supposed to have the, you know, both governors are appointing board members. They're staggered, so they outlast a governor. Exactly. I mean, what's happened in modern history is that with increasing pressure on governors to cut taxes and cut budgets, what they have done is they've gone and looked at these authorities as ways to solve the budget problems. And there was, in just a couple of years ago, the Port Authority budget, they were asked by Governor Cuomo to give some money to the MTA because he couldn't solve their budget problem either. So that's the kind of thing that goes on within this, is that they're sort of seen as kind of these off-the-books, hidden agencies where they don't have the same kind of transparency as the state budget. And so all kinds of things can happen to help them get out of sort of their immediate problems.
Laura in Bergen County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Laura.
Hello. As I told your screener, my husband was a lawyer who died while on the job with the Port Authority. And at the time, I was very aware of the history. It was originally the Port of Authority, along with what you were saying, Andrea. You know, the history was the bi-state agency that isn't really ruled by any one state, the tax advantages, to fundraise, to creating projects in that way, and sort of the Moses good government version of good government, a little bit ham-handed, but really trying to do what was the right thing. And he was involved in the early privatizations that the Port Authority was involved in, some really large-scale attempts. And I saw in the time that the 15 years that I was watching in detail that it did get more more politicized at the top. But I've been absolutely horrified at the level to which there's the meddling. There never was, that I was aware of, at the time that he died, which, mm-hmm. you know, is now a dozen years ago. So it's all happened in that time frame to get to this level.
Laura, thank you very much for that background. Ken in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to point out, it might have been even on your show that I had learned that the Tappan Zee Bridge was built where it was, which is a terrible place to build a bridge, specifically to get out of control of the Port Authority.
Is that true, Andrea?
That
Do you
was,
know anything
there was
about
a,
that?
There was a Planet Money podcast about that. But yes, that was assertive. That's why it is there, because it's built at the widest point of the Hudson River, out of the jurisdiction of the Port Authority. I wanted to say, in response to what Laura was saying, is that I think one of the things that's been lost in this whole Bridgegate scandal is a sort of real tragedy of this. I mean, I've talked to people with the Port Authority. They are heartbroken by these revelations, and they've been feeling so, you know, many of the people who work there are just, they're engineers, and they want to run bridges, and they want to run the PATH train, and they just want to keep the planes flying, and to have this happen is tragic. But one of the ironies I've been thinking about is the last time the Port Authority released a massive document dump was the transcripts of 9/11. And so many Port Authority employees literally died by going to work on 9/11.
And Port Authority officers and many others.
And many others who worked. The Port Authority was in the World Trade Center. That's where their office is. The head of the Port Authority, Neil Levin, was up at Windows on the World and died in the attacks. And it is just a real tragedy that this happened on the anniversary of 9/11 sort of really gives you an image of where this authority has gone.
When you say this, one of the bizarre details of Bridgegate is that 9/11 of 2013 was one of the days that the traffic jam was being caused, right?
It was exactly.
The 8th, 9th, or 9th, 10th,
exactly.
11th, 12th,
exactly.
Like
and,
that.
Of course, you know, that's a day of high alert, and the GW Bridge is a terror target. So the sort of fact that it could have come to this, you know, in some ways it's just beyond words.
And using civilians for political purposes, there's a word for that. Jeff in Park Slope, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning, Brian and Anna. 2 points. One is Cuomo has been almost comically silent on this. And I want to ask both of you what your thoughts are. And is he quiet on this because of skeletons in his own closet and, you know, New York State's upper political machines placing people in these positions? Or is he trying to raise above the fray and position himself to show him, is he superior to all this this local politics in his setup for a 2016 run? That's one thing. And the other question is, what's the story with an AG that can investigate the Port Authority? I had heard somewhere that there is an AG, but they don't have a lot of power behind them. It's being a bi-state agency.
Right.
Who has the authority to dig deep and call these people to task?
They do have an IG, an inspector general,
right,
who's internal, who I think Governor Cuomo did call onto the job on this, or am I mistaken?
Well, he has been called into action. At whose behest, I don't know that it's
right.
exactly
okay.
clear. But, I mean, you know, I just did some reporting on this over the weekend on Governor Cuomo, and I agree. He has been very, very silent. One of the interesting things in the documents was that on the Saturday, right after the closure, so Pat Foy, who is a Cuomo appointee, is the one who blew the whistle on this whole thing. And there's a very now famous email as part of this document release, in which he says it was a hasty and ill-advised decision, and it may have broken federal and state laws, and it was abusive, and I am calling a halt to it, and I am stopping it. So that was what Cuomo's appointee at the Port Authority did. He did that on the Friday morning. So it had been going since Monday. Friday morning, he reversed it. He reopened the lanes. And the next day, Saturday, there's an email exchange with the head of Bridges and Tunnels for the Port Authority, Cedric Fulton, in which Pat Foy says, are Wildstein and Barone up to anything else? Second floor request, need to know ASAP. And the second floor means the governor. The second floor is where Governor Cuomo and his top aides sit. And when you say second floor, it means either the governor or, you know, his sort of body double wants to know. And that's it. That's all we heard. So clearly they knew early on. They were interested in it early on. But when I asked the governor's office whether the governor had done anything, whether he'd ordered an investigation, whether he'd followed up on the accusation by his executive director that there were laws broken, their position was, is there's now a U.S. attorney investigating this. There's nothing we can say publicly. The documents are silent. There's no evidence that he did anything else. And then some 3 months later, he was asked about it by Susan Arbiter of our sister station upstate, WCNY. And he said, well, basically what I know is what's in the papers. The Wall Street Journal subsequently reported that Christie had called Cuomo saying Foy is pressing too hard, tell him to back off. Christie then categorically denied it, and Cuomo kind of backed him up. So he has been taking a role not in front of the scenes. And, you know, sort of, I mean, I don't, you know, my sort of political analysis of that is that Cuomo doesn't really need to fan the flames of this. It's doing just fine on its own. And he could reap potential benefit without getting directly involved.
Are there groups waiting in the wings to reform or dismantle the Port Authority?
Well, I'm beginning to hear some peeps about that. It is very, very, very difficult to disband an authority. And if you read The Power Broker, you can understand why, because all these things are written into bond covenants.
The book about Robert Moses.
The book about Robert Moses by Bob Caro. All these things are written into bond covenants, which sort of trump almost every state and federal law. And one of the things that we found very frustrating as reporters, we have sent one of my colleagues, Kate Hines, I think, had 19 letters from the Port Authority saying delaying a routine FOIL request. The request was for Pat Foy's schedules. And we've had 19 letters saying we can't get them, we can't get them. The problem with a bi-state agency is that in some ways it takes an act of Congress to make them do anything. Or, as we're now seeing, a New Jersey Assembly subpoena. I mean, I think this is a situation where nobody knows. Everybody's felt they don't have to answer to us, so we're not going to try. Now, finally, people are calling for answers, and it's astounding what we're finding out.
Well, is anybody proposing a better way? If we have these infrastructure pieces that really do serve both states, the bridges and the tunnels and the airports, is there a better way than just trying to clean up the current Port Authority system to run these things in the regional interest?
I have not yet seen a reasoned proposal to do that, but it almost assuredly will be coming sooner rather than later.
Well, I don't think this is the last we're going to hear about the Port Authority. Certainly not the last we're going to hear about
everyone's in my world now.
Bridgegate, as WNYC's humble Metro editor, Andrea Bernstein, now has everyone in her world. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ryan.
And again, listeners, a reminder that when Governor Christie gives his State of the State address at 3 o'clock this afternoon, we will stream it live at WNYC.org. and New Jersey Public Radio. We have a lot more to do on the program today, including Amanda Hess. Maybe you've read her piece from Pacific Standard magazine that has gone so viral and have so many people reacting because it really reflects so many people's experience about misogyny on the internet, death threats, rape threats, and the larger point, besides her own personal story, is that there is a fundamentally more hostile environment for women than for men if they have a profile online. So Amanda Hess will be here and propose some things to do about that. We also have humorist P.J. O'Rourke today. His new book is called The Baby Boom, How It Got That Way, and It Wasn't My Fault, and I'll Never Do It Again. So stay tuned for P.J. O'Rourke.